Hey, Will Arnett, good morning.
Gee, you are jumping out.
Hey.
You keep going, hey, Will Arnett all the time. What's going on with that?
I've been doing this new thing where I tell people's first name and last name. I can't speak without saying their full name. Like Tommy Lee Jones. You just don't say Tom Jones. You say Tommy Lee Jones.
I bet his friends don't say, hey, Tommy Lee Jones, do you want a glass of water?
I think they probably do.
No, they probably say, hey, you want some water?
Okay. Hey, Will.
See? There we go. Now we're meeting the real Sean. Right. Now we can start an all-new Smart List. Smart.
So, listener, we're trying to figure out why Sean is late this morning. He's never late, so we're actually worried about him. We're starting to think, how would Sean die? We're saying you could choke on egg salad,
yeah.
Or maybe burn himself beyond recognition on a hot dumpling or something like that from Chin Chin.
Yeah, or just like he sees fries in the fryer and he just goes face first into it. And they're like, no, don't.
Swan dives.
But you know what? Here's the other possibility is that Sean's sleep, his sleep hygiene is terrible. So he wakes up kind of at like 3 or 4 and he'll stay up and then he'll go back to bed at like 8. Mm. And there's a chance, maybe I should ring the house. Should I call the house?
Well, but he sleeps with a fan on and what else? What else did he have to the hotel room on our trip? Like a fan had to be brought in, and wasn't like an extra pillow or a knitted blanket or something? It was something specific.
Like a weighted blanket. Hang on, I'm calling the house phone.
Oh my God. I hope he's got a real fun outgoing message. Get that up next to the mic. Yeah.
Just call my landline.
Hey, are you going to do the show with us?
Or what do you think?
It's 10:30.
No, it's 10:15.
Oh, Jesus, I'm coming right now.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
Surprise guest, please don't respond, but thank you so much for your patience. He's moments away. We appreciate
it. Really appreciate it, surprise guest.
What kind of shape is his hair going to be in? Think he has time to grab a hat?
Yeah.
I don't think he's done one without a hat, has he?
I think he sleeps in a hat.
I think he showers with a t-shirt on for sure.
Well, like 'twas the night before Christmas, like an ye old time sleeping cap.
All right, so Will, today you say you're going to play 9 holes of golf. You've already worked out. Anything else that's going to help the world for you today?
I'm adjusting my recording. I've got a new mic because I'm taking a mic with me because I have to record Smart List from Singapore. So I'm taking that. The boys sent me a nice.
Can't wait for the technical difficulties on those records.
No,
really?
I mean, do I have a lot of technical difficulties on my end?
You've been known to test a 1-2. Oh, God, look at the hair.
I'm so...
Look at the...
You guys, I am so sorry. I hate that feeling of being late. Oh, I thought it was 10:30.
Yeah, well...
It wasn't.
Look at your calendar. Does it say 10:15?
Let me look.
Take a look right now.
I'm going to look right now. It says... You know what, guys? It says 10:15.
Yeah, no, it does.
Were you just still kind of a little bit on a sugar high from last night from Scotty's big birthday soiree? Was it an ice cream party?
You guys,
into a sundae? Did you have end up?
No, I did. I opted not to. I made him a cake with some stupid picture of himself on the top of the cake
from the $20 cake lady.
Yes, she's amazing.
Yeah,
and
heard.
And I had and I said, Scotty goes, how big a piece do you want? I go, I'm not even kidding. Cut me half of the cake.
Did you eat the full half?
Yeah, ate the whole half.
I'm not even kidding, kept me the whole half. And he goes, I didn't think you were kidding. I know you.
Sean, what would you do if, let's say, Steven Spielberg called you today and he said, listen, Sean, I need you for this part. And the guy...
The Machinist too.
No, but he's a lifeguard at a pool. And there's lots of dialogue that talks about how sculpted his body. How long do you think it would be possible for you at all? This is for Steven Spielberg to.
What if he then said, and you're like, oh, I'll get in shape and go, no, that's for the other guy. We need somebody to play the flotation device.
But would you take on a role where you had to get to sculpted shape and you only had a month to do
it? Well, now that's an interesting question because I always say, like, I've lost weight for health reasons or whatever in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And knowing that I can do it that fast makes me not do it.
When did you try that, though? As we get older, it gets exponentially harder.
Yeah, it's so much harder now. Yeah. Trust me.
All right. Well, you guys would know.
neither one of you guys are out of shape. But I'm just saying, you love your treats. You couldn't have any treats.
But wait till you'll see the documentary that we filmed, because I'm fat as a house.
No, you're not.
Oh,
how
yeah.
dare you say
no, you're
that
not.
About
hey, but
yourself.
Here's the other thing. Jay, I will say this. You like your treats too. You just deprive yourself. You live in a state of absolute deprivation because
that's what blows my mind. Is like you still
the warden has you on a tight on a pretty tight sketch.
Oh, she sure does.
And she shames you. I've seen her shame you on food, especially on a Saturday night. Remember somebody brought that gooey cake a couple weeks ago on the Saturday night and they amongst the treats and it was so good.
I brought those.
No. You didn't bring.
No, you didn't. No. You brought a bag of cookies from the back of your pantry that was shattered. Every single cookie was in just in like.
You brought a bag of Tates.
Yeah, Tates that had been dropped off behind your car. You backed up to pick it up, accidentally ran it over, then grabbed it, then brought it and dumped it into a bowl
as
dessert.
Kind of true.
You're like, hey guys, I brought a really special dessert. And you brought it to Tates. Like, oh, cool. We can all go to Safeway, man. We know where to shop. Like, what are you doing? Anyway.
No, listen. This is what... Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying somebody else's guest brought these gooey chocolate, like a cake type brownie thing. And Jason really liked it, and he took a couple bites. And then the warden shot him a look.
I looked up and found the warden's eyes.
She was like, she's going to throw him in the hole for 10 days. He's going...
Listen, this is... my life would be a disaster without my better half, okay?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But now look at this. I'm drinking tea. Mm-hmm. And it tastes like candy because I put like 4 packs of sugar in it and cream.
Yeah.
Because you still didn't have enough sweet in your palate from last night.
You know, Sean, can I just say this? And I don't want to plug this brand, but they're really good. I use that Trulia now, which is like a natural, like it's a sweetener, but it's
stevia.
Yeah.
You mean the ones with carcinogens in them?
No.
Stevia,
none at all.
It's a plant, ding dong.
Hey, listen.
So stevia is the best.
Listen, when I'm one of the people giving a eulogy, saying like he was really concerned about carcinogens. How did he die of his fucking raging diabetes? But man, he was worried about the carcinogens. It's fucking like
I know. It's bad.
It's so nice try.
It's really bad.
Well, let me tell you about somebody who just seems incredibly healthy. All right, Her whole thing is just a healthy glow. Her talent just radiates health and...
You're so lazy.
You're so into it.
You're so lazy.
I was trying to blend. Wasn't that a nice transition? Here we go. Guys.
Oh, my God. Start at the top. Start at the top.
I got to just let her take over because she's the best.
I've never seen you phone in.
I know, I'm not phoning anything in. I'm pissed off about something this morning, and I don't want to drag it into the podcast.
Don't.
Okay.
We have one of our best actors going, all right? She's been doing incredible work for about 25 years, yet she's more than 10 years younger than all of us, all right? She's got 2 Emmys, 2 Globes, 2 SAGs, 2 Critics' Choice Awards.
What?
She's an L.A. native. She's got a British dad, a Swedish mom. She's got a Chinese parrot that speaks Dutch. This is Elizabeth Moss, everybody.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, do I love you.
Elizabeth Hi. Moss.
Oh, cool. Elizabeth, I'm sorry
I was
late.
I'm so fascinated about the Chinese duck or parrot that speaks Dutch. It's just
ducks don't talk.
Wikipedia's. No, I know.
Oh my gosh,
Wikipedia is
so nice
always accurate. It's so nice to meet you.
She's got real fancy lights in her shot, guys. She lives in a nice home.
They're a little much. I will say, Sean, though, I did have a piece of cake last night, and I was here on time.
Wow. Good for you.
It's because you didn't have half a cake. You just had a piece.
Good for you. I love that.
Good.
Elizabeth, the last time I saw you, we kissed.
Oh, what?
That's right. Nice.
Yeah.
We should just leave it there.
Don't explain anything else.
Just
what were you
right
celebrating
there.
Last night? The memory of that kiss with Will Arnett? What was the cake for?
Yes. Absolutely no reason whatsoever except I wanted cake.
Really?
So I ordered cake. Yeah.
Wait, like an Uber Eats order cake?
Yeah.
Come on.
Seamless. Yeah, from Magnolia Bakery.
You just ordered cake.
Yeah. I was craving cake, like that icing that they have.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I live in New York. And I was like, you know what? I can have that if I want. So I ordered it.
Do you take care of yourself like that? Like when you want something and you say like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
For the most part. Not so much when I'm working, I'm a little bit more. I try to be a little bit healthier and a little bit more conducive to the hours.
No, what do you mean? Like other treats even? Like just like, you know what? I've always liked that car. I'm going to get that car. Or look at that nice blouse. Sean? You know, like Sean does not walk by a blouse he doesn't love. He either will not pass.
Never met one. Never met one.
I hear you. I think everything in moderation is okay. Yeah.
I know, but you know what?
What's moderation?
Yeah. But isn't it kind of like, isn't it kind of, because my brain goes, well, gosh, I was so deprived as a kid because the way we grew up that now I'm like, I'm an adult and I can't stop that thing in my head that says I can have anything I want to eat whenever I want it. Like, I don't need permission.
We're lucky.
Yep. It's not even about the thing itself. It was just about the fact that I could order it if I wanted to, and it would come, and then I could eat it.
What were you watching on TV when the cake arrived?
Real Housewives of New York City.
Here we go. I want to know about all the guilty pleasures. So have you done all the regions? Have you done Atlanta?
A little bit. I've dabbled in everything, but New York and New Jersey are the ones I've really focused on, and New York is definitely the one I've watched multiple times.
Jersey does give a lot of color, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Pause for a second. Yeah, just really do does. What kind of cake was it? I'm interested. Like, what, like given that you have every opportunity to order any flavor,
cake.
Yeah. Which
any
one do you get?
Any cake in the world. It was just the Magnolia Bakery. You know, the just the white cake.
Yes.
with the buttercream frosting.
You could have the classic. Magnolia Bakery. It's
really
now that's it's those are cupcakes though, right?
Yeah, but they also have slices of cake. If you don't want to mess around with a cupcake,
same thing, different shape.
Give you exactly same.
Yeah, but I'm like listen. Taco I love Bell. Cake as well. It sounds like you love cake, and I like that about you. I'm a big cake person, and when I hear people saying like they don't like cake, I just think what's wrong with you?
Well, I prefer pie.
Really?
Okay. Ugh. So I mean that exactly. That's a great example.
What kind of pie? Hot
any fruit. Kind of pie.
Hot.
I thought you were going to say what kind of monster are you?
Well, pie, I do like a fruit pie, but I like the crispy, hot crust, you know?
No,
I
don't
like
but soft. Warm fruit is disgusting.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I like pie. I like pie a lot, and I love an apple brown Betty, something like that. Boy, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Apple crisps, whatever,
what about
a crumble?
Yeah.
Sure. Right.
What about a pecan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, pecan. Nothing worse for you than a pecan pie.
Why?
That's the fattiest dessert you can have, absolutely.
Nothing
really?
Tastes better.
Yeah. It's so sugary and fatty.
Wait, now, Elizabeth, do you know this deal with... Now, if you knew this, you might not get a slice next time. You get a real cupcake where you take the top of a cupcake, you twist it so that it separates from the bottom, flip it over, make a sandwich out of it, and then you don't get the frosting up the nose.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's advanced level.
Yeah, I think I got that on Reddit.
I'll
do it tonight. Yeah, that's I've been eating cupcakes wrong for years.
So Elizabeth, where are you? Do people call you Liz? Do you hate
Lizzie?
Beth?
Lizzie's perfect.
Call you Lizzie.
It's so nice to meet you, Sean.
You too. I'm such a big fan.
Same.
Give it another few minutes.
Wait. And so you grew up in LA? I didn't know that.
I did. I grew up in LA till I was about 19, and then I moved to New York. So I've lived in New York for over 20 years now.
She went there to study dance, guys.
Mm-hmm.
She went to New York to study dance.
Oh, New York, I mean.
Ask her about dance. Ask her about ballet, pursuing a ballet career, and then acting got in the way. Go ahead.
I know you knew so much about me, Jason.
Yeah.
Wait, do you still do ballet? Do you still dance?
No, I wish. I wish.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you can dance if you want to.
You can leave your friends behind.
Song. So you're studying dance and ballet specifically in New York?
Yeah.
And then what was the acting pursuit just something like, maybe I can book a few commercials and pay for some rent while I'm studying dance? Or how did it come about?
It was kind of a 50-50. I loved both of them. And I started acting when I was really young. But acting's easier to kind of keep up than dancing. Dancing, you have to go, obviously, every day, and it becomes your
also,
life.
There's a finite, you know.
Exactly. And so at about 15, I had the choice of whether or not to carry on and go to a school year-round and you know, look at joining a company and everything. 15, which isn't that crazy? Yeah, now looking back, you're like, Jesus, I was a child.
I said this on the podcast before.
Then don't say it again.
Yeah.
Why would you repeat yourself? What the fuck?
Because Elizabeth hasn't heard
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay, great.
I
waste
can see
Lizzie's
why
time.
Sean didn't want to come. He's like, I want to show
it's a
up.
Tough crowd.
I used to do stand-up in L.A., and one of my first opening jokes, it was terrible, was, you know, they say doing ballet is one of the most difficult things you could ever do, so I say, just don't do it.
Oh, boy.
And then you when do you tell the joke after that? When do you tell the when's the joke coming?
I like it. I would have laughed.
Okay, so wait.
So yeah, when I was 15, I decided I had some sort of mature thinking and thought, you know, gosh, if I keep doing this, if I'm lucky, if I don't get injured, if I'm successful at all, I'll be done by what, 35?
Yeah.
And now that I'm 40, I'm so glad that I had that sort of decision and made the right one. And I couldn't leave acting either. It was sort of one of those, I could think about a life without ballet, but I couldn't imagine not acting. Acting felt like who I was. Mm-hmm. Ballet felt like something I was doing.
Well, what was your first professional acting gig?
I think I did like a couple commercials when I was like really little. Mm-hmm. And then I think my first real professional gig was this Lifetime movie called Lucky Chances.
Chances. Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Loved it.
Sean's familiar. And it was us. I played a girl whose mom died, and my mom was one of your former guests, Sandra Bullock.
Come on.
No way.
That's crazy. Yeah. She played your mom.
Yeah, wow. She played my mom, and I had to find her dead face down in the pool, and I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I was like, this is awesome. I love this. Let's keep doing this.
So you were 6 or 7 years old. She was dead in a pool. You're 40. She was your mom. I'm sure she's going to love this story.
Yeah, she's going to love it a lot.
I've never talked to her about it.
She's only 42 or 43.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah. extraordinary.
You've never talked to her about it?
No, I haven't. And I've met her briefly backstage at like a thing, and yeah. I'm so intimidated by her because oh I love God. Her so much.
Sweetest, yeah. greatest, yeah. nicest ever.
I know, and that's what I've heard, and I just have never had the balls to bring it up.
We'll be right back.
We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things with related to Smartless and Smartless Media, because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work, so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartlist. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell you, of all guests we've had on SmartList, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star. Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye, Seps.
Back to the show.
Now, here's what I don't understand is, you know, as you were saying, as an actor, you can age into all kinds of roles. Like, you're never too old to be an actor because you just play older parts. Mm-hmm. Why can't that be the case with dancing? Wouldn't you love to see some sort of dancing company of people north of 50?
Yeah, and it'd be
comedic, right?
Doing the box step. That's all they can
How
do.
How dare you?
Well,
comedic.
High jumps and stuff. You're waiting for an injury.
More napping.
Yeah.
It's on ABC. It's called Dancing with the Stars.
Nice, Sean.
Really good, Sean.
Okay, so thanks, guys. Elizabeth, wait. I just had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day about parenting, and like this friend of mine, I see him at the gym. He's got two kids. He's a super nice guy. And he sang a little bit.
Oh, that's what you do at the gym.
Yeah.
You talk to people.
And he sang a little bit. And I go, oh, you actually can sing. Like, you have a nice voice. He goes, yeah, don't tell anybody. I go, what do you mean? He goes, it just makes me shy. I go, no, you need to sing in front of your kids. You need to, like, let them know that you can be expressive and extroverted and fearless and all of those things. So did you have, because for kids to dance, I think, is very intimidating. Mm-hmm. So did you have parents that kind of expressed themselves to you to let you know it was safe to do so?
Yeah, my parents are both musicians, and the whole family is in the music business, but jazz and blues. And so it wasn't so much about expressing yourself. It was just about being an artist was very acceptable. Being anything else would have been weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and practicing and rehearsing and discipline was something that was very much understood in my household. So going to class every day was something very normal. That was what you did.
Yeah.
You know, you picked a vocation and you became really good at it.
Yeah.
Or you didn't do it. Not that that was ever spoken. It's just sort of in retrospect what I can see.
Yeah.
But there were, I mean, everyone was always playing an instrument. You know, we were always going to shows. So my first memories were, you know, going to the Greek Theater, the Beacon, or Blue Note New York. Like, it was just what I thought life was. Everyone was a musician.
My oldest brother, Dennis, he allowed his kids to write on the walls anywhere in the house with crayons anytime they wanted.
Wow.
And it was him and his wife. It was like, she's like, what are you doing? He's like, you can just paint over it. Let him just draw on the walls.
That's really
They
sweet.
Were divorced shortly after that, I think, right?
Isn't that kind of interesting?
They're all in jail. But Lizzie, are your parents still with us?
Yes.
And are they still performing as musicians? Are they still doing, still active in their music?
Here and there. Yeah. My mom is, it's pretty cool actually. My mom is a blues harmonica player.
Wow.
And to be a female blues harmonica player is actually really rare.
Yeah.
And she's really, really good. She doesn't gig as much anymore, but she still plays and she's really good.
That's awesome.
And your dad, what does your dad play?
Trombone.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so cool.
Do they have a two-man show?
No.
I would like to see that.
That's pretty cool.
Jason used to have a real rusty trombone used to play, right? Hey, but let me ask you this, Lizzie. The other question
seriously,
is,
folks.
But they perform jazz.
Yep.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about it? Are you a fan of, everybody, are you guys all fans of jazz music?
I don't
you
love
open it up to the room. Well, yeah.
I am.
I'm not a jazz fan, but I feel like I'm just one documentary away from being a big
fan. I appreciate the talent, but I like something to sing back, and a lot of times when they're riffing for 2 hours, I can't find a melody.
Yet Sean and I both love classical music.
I haven't decided. I can't figure out where I should land on it. I can't figure out if it's cool or not cool to like jazz. So I'm still trying to decide, and I'm waiting. I'm just sort of trying to garner a consensus whether I should be.
We need to watch Ken Burns' documentary. And
I mean, the Ken
Burns.
I was going to say the Ken Burns documentary.
That's not going to decide it for me. I need people like I need like Steve Malkmus to say if it's cool or not from Pavement, and then I'll be like, yeah, I like it.
Jazz is cool for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
You're cool, so I believe you.
Thank you. Yes. It's in a lot of an acquired taste when you get into like the real deep jazz, the real stuff, and the improv and everything. It's not for everybody. But I grew up on it, so I understand it and love it. And to me, it's very normal sounding. When I was little, I was the one listening to Ella Fitzgerald, and I mean, I was
well,
very
I
into,
love
like,
that.
Yes, exactly.
I love like, that because they're singers. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Like that was where I really landed was with the crooners and with Gershwin
for
and all
sure,
of that.
Yes,
and I could. Like, I memorized all the Gershwin songs when I was, like, you know, 5 years old. You know, so I had no idea when I was a teenager, like, who Nirvana was, but I could absolutely sing, you know, any Gershwin tune. So that was where I landed.
Did you ever go to Jazz Fest down in New Orleans?
No, I've never been. I've been to New Orleans a lot, but I haven't been to Jazz Fest. It's supposed to be great.
Do you play? I missed it. Do you play something?
No, I don't. I kind of learned the piano for a role later. I learned piano and guitar, but just for that movie.
Yeah.
But no, I never really learned anything because in my family, you got really good at something. So if you didn't have time to practice every day, you know, you might as well just forget about it.
Sean, do you wish in your family people had gotten good at stuff?
Or at least decent.
Or just showed up.
So we're in New York, and we're getting some traction in acting. When did you feel the first real shift? And like, oh, here comes possibly a career in acting. Was it West Wing?
I guess it was kind of West Wing. Or Girl Interrupted, this film I did when I was, I think I was like 15 or
Fantastic.
16. Yeah, because there were all these great women in that. And, you know, Winona Ryder, Angelina Jolie, Brittany Murphy, Clea DuVall, who I got to work with again later. And so that was kind of the one where I was like, Whoopi Goldberg was in it, where I was like, oh, this is something I think I'm good at and really fit well in. And then, the West Wing was like my first like regular job where I felt I had, a place and a kind of started to have a community and a group and with all those guys, even though I was just reoccurring, and I was quite young. I was 17 when I started on that
show.
It was
high profile. I bet you started to get stopped on the street and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did.
How did you adapt to that? Was that odd?
It was only odd because I was in the first two seasons a lot. The first four, the Aaron Sorkin seasons, I was in more. And the I would get stopped and asked questions about things I didn't know the answers to, and because I wasn't
how much
really on
mushrooms
the show
does
that
Aaron Sorkin do, and you're like, I don't know.
God,
ask TSA; they're the ones that went through his bag.
Luckily, they were not asking.
I had him booked for next week. Never mind.
You're not asking my 18-year-old self that.
It's okay. He's never hired me anyway. He doesn't give a shit what I say.
Same.
But then Mad Men. And Lizzie, can I just say, I watched, and you know that we're friends with John too and all that. I watched Mad Men. I kind of let it build up for a couple seasons before I got into it. And I watched it all the way through. And you are simply unbelievably fantastic in that.
Incredible.
You are, Lizzie, and I've known you a couple years or what, and I don't know if I've ever actually said that to you, but I can't believe, even when I think about what you did and some of the moves that you have and what you do in that show, I honestly found it mesmerizing. I find it really,
thanks.
Really, truly.
She knows what she's doing.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow, I really appreciate that. And no, you have never said that.
I know. Well, because I was embarrassed.
And
I don't
then
want,
click,
you know what I mean?
And you just slam your laptop down.
Like, I got what I came for.
Wait, she's leaving.
Now, Top of the Lake, which is one of my favorites, was right after that?
It was in the middle. It was in the middle of that. Yeah,
oh
I think
God.
It was like season 4 or 5 of Mad Men that I went to go do that in between.
I also love that. That was really good, too.
And you go down to New Zealand to do that, right?
Yeah, that was crazy because I'd gotten kind of more famous for Peggy and people really liked her. And this, that was the time actually that I discovered that I could sort of do another character. I didn't know really whether or not I was just really good at Peggy and that was my thing. And wow, I mean, how amazing just to be on that one good show. Like that's more than so many people ever get. So this was like a kind of a test for myself as well of could I go and do something else that was completely different with the accent. It was a completely different tone. The character was completely different. And it was hard. It was a very challenging role too. So that was kind of a, for me, the step in my career that was like, oh, okay, I think I can do this and then I could go do that and I could make a real meal out of this.
Top of the Lake was like my North Star for Ozark because I was trying to build a look and a feel for the show. And then also so fell in love with Peter Mullen. God. And he was my second call right after Laura Linney.
How about that?
To get the show. I mean,
really?
I never knew that. And that makes total sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
That's really
cool. Even your title card, which is just 5 seconds long, you know, like there's no opening credits. It's just that 5 second thing. And so that's why it's so huge inspiration for me. I made everybody watch that.
Well, you say inspiration. They say lawsuit because, you know, judging by, and I'm just going
Jane Campion is real litigious.
What Deadline is saying right now already.
this is a lawsuit.
But then you go, you do Top of the Lake, which I also thought was incredible. And what it made me do was like Google, I guess it was like, what part of
New Zealand?
New Zealand was that? It was in
New Zealand. What, Queenstown.
Queenstown. God. I was like, wow, look at this place. It looks incredible. And
God, it's so beautiful.
Then you go and do Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
And as a Canadian, I feel a sort of sense of ownership on that book because, you know, Margaret Atwood is a great Canadian author. Mm-hmm. And we all read it in school. Mm-hmm. So quite familiar with it. I was like, this Lizzie Moss, I mean, there ain't nothing she can't do, but we're going to find it. We're going to find the thing she can't do before it's all over.
Why would you want to do that? That sounds destructive.
Now, did you read the book on that and pursue it, or did the script come to you as an offer, or did you audition? Like, how'd that come about?
So I was doing the second season of Top of the Lake in Sydney, and it came my way as a script.
Yeah.
And I had read the book years ago, but sort of didn't, you know, really remember it that well. So I read the script with sort of fresh eyes, which was great. And I had, Mad Men had only finished like a year before or something. So I really didn't intend to get into another series. Yeah. You know, I was sort of doing the thing of, okay, I'm now going to go and have all of this time. Right. But then I read this script and it was so good. And then I said, can I see the second one? And I read the second one and I was like, fuck, it's even better. So I got on the phone with Hulu and with Bruce, and then I said, I want sort of a Warren Littlefield type to come and do this, and because I was obsessed with Fargo. And they said, well, what if we brought you Warren Littlefield? And then Warren and I got on the phone, and he was sort of like, I'll do it if you do it kind of thing. Yeah, and since then he's been sort of my producing mentor. I love him so much.
He was the reason. He's the reason Will and Grace happened.
Yeah, yes, Warren was like a big dad figure to Sean and I in our NBC years.
He was
big cheese.
But also, you go to do a show for a streamer that, and you don't know if they're going to do. I mean, like at that point, but you, and it worked out, and like Hulu. You know, it worked out.
Will. Wait, did you, Sean? Did
and
you?
And my
hear
ballet
that?
Joke was bad.
Listen, he loves Hulu sashimi. You know,
sashimi.
But the thing was, is I wasn't scared of that because of Mad Men. First of all, West Wing, NBC wasn't doing a show like that, and then that did well, and then Mad Men was on AMC, which nobody knew what that was, and everybody thought we were on A&E.
Yeah, it takes one shot.
Then Top of the Lake was on Sundance, which nobody knew what that was. And so I wasn't scared of the new place. I actually really like new places because I feel like you have the space to prove yourself as opposed to chasing a high that they've experienced. You get to be the one that goes in. They don't really know what they're doing yet or who they are, so they're kind of willing to take more risks.
I like that. I just said to somebody the other day, dawned on me, I'm 52 and, you know,
what?
Withhold. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
All the wow, I can't believe it. But let me just, I realized the other day, I thought, I actually, people go like, I hate change, I'm nervous of change. I'm not nervous of change or risk. I'm not risk averse at all. I love change. Are you scared of change?
No, not at all. I mean, doesn't it, I don't know how you guys feel, but doesn't it kind of come with this lifestyle, career, in the sense of...
There's nothing consistent about it.
There's nothing consistent about it. There's no regular job. And of course, you know, you get to a place where you feel more secure, hopefully. But, you know, there's no consistency. And you know, you... So we're all used to kind of circus people. We're used to moving somewhere for 6 months and developing a life there and then leaving and never seeing those people again. And, you know, it's... So I think we're all kind of, embrace change.
Did some of that sort of knowledge of how sort of fickle this business is lead to your incredible diversification of your capital, your access in this business with all the producing and the directing that you're doing? Are those pure pursuits? You really love directing, love producing, or is it a combo of all that stuff?
It's probably more of the latter. It's a bit of a combo, but more of the latter. I kind of fell into it, not by chance, it was by choice, but on Handmaids, they asked me to be a producer. Yeah. And I said, okay, but I don't want it if it's just a title and you're just going to put the thing up there and I don't really get to do anything or say anything. I said, so I'd like to really, I remember talking to Warren about it. I said, I'd like to really learn how to do this. I'd like to learn from you. I'd like to learn from the people who are better at this. And then I started to learn and I started to really love it.
Yeah.
And I loved the involvement it gave me on a creative level, not on a control level. I loved how I got to learn so much about after 30 years doing this. I was learning parts of the job that I had no idea about.
Yeah.
And then same thing with directing. I loved the show so much, loved the show so much. It's my baby. And after 3 years of making it, I just wanted to tell the story myself. I wanted to embrace another part of telling the story. I had no designs on becoming a director. It wasn't something that I thought, oh, this is the end game. This is what I can do to keep my career going.
But it's something you're really loving and doing more of,
I really love it.
Yeah,
that's so great.
I really do. It's so great.
Who's your go-to lieutenant in your team, your immediate team there? Your first AD, your DP, your camera operator, or your cast? Where do you find yourself gravitating with directing?
That's such a good question. The DP, I think, for me, just because that's the person. I really love the visual aspect of it. And we're a very visual show.
Yeah, it's so cinematic. It's beautiful.
Yeah, well, thank you. So that was actually how I kind of got into the idea of directing, was shadowing directors and dealing with them so much as they were prepping episodes. And I would always be there and we'd have meetings at my house or their house. And I was very involved and I was learning without realizing I was learning. And we always included the DP because we believe that it's very important that the DP knows what the scene is about and what you're trying to accomplish.
That's smart.
And so through that, I got more and more and more into the visual side of it. So yeah, I would say the DP, especially on our show, which is so... And also the locations department. Our locations department is absolutely incredible. And we're very...
Where do you guys shoot?
Toronto.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, you can go over there, if you guys want to shoot. We found a nice parking lot over here, Yeah, she looks pretty good. Fuck, we'll shovel that snow out quick and you can get the trucks in there, no problem. Set up a base camp.
Lastly, on directing.
But what, Jason, I was going to say to you, because that is a good question. That's interesting because I know Sean and I talked about it and he said he directed that one thing and he said that he really leaned hard on catering. So, but for you...
you got to keep the crew happy. Good for you, Sean.
Yeah, and that was the most important thing. He'd call him every shot. He'd be like, where are you setting up catering? They're like, Sean, it's in the shot. He's like, it's okay. We'll paint it out.
I'm not walking more than 10 steps.
But Jay, who do you lean on, Jay? I'm actually curious.
I don't know. Pete Thorell is a first AD that I've worked with a ton, and I just think that he's just incredible what he does. He does so many things he's not even paid to do with every department, and he's just sort of like the secret weapon.
Mm. But is that because it's him, or is that your go-to?
AD is assistant director,
I do think the first AD is, the first AD is in my opinion, the most important person on the set. They're they're running everything, and if they're not into it, if they don't create a good harmonious, it's just
Sean.
You know,
Sean, so you started you started to say for Tracy. So for Tracy, for the first AD is. The first is the assistant director.
It's sort of a misnomer. You know, they're really assisting the director. They're running the set.
They run the entire set. They're the quarterback.
And when you have a bad experience, that's when you really know how valuable they are, valuable a good one is, because they can just take the whole thing down.
Yeah, and everybody takes advantage, and it's just it's a mess.
And it all falls apart, and it starts
in
prep.
Yeah, we need you on set. I need 10 minutes. And then they're like, ugh.
And you can tell a set that you show up on that has a really great, strong first AD. You're like, oh, this this is going to be a good experience.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Every week, guests join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time. Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? They never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.
Hey, listener, it's Jason Bateman. You know him for putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville's bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his new podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. His new podcast, in collaboration with us here at Smartless Media, also features longtime This American Life contributor Elna Baker as his co-host. Together, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surf 100-foot waves, ride 600-mile-per-hour rocket sleds, and wrestle crocodiles for fun. On Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid. We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
And now, back to the show.
Lastly, on the directing thing, Lizzie, what is your favorite thing that a director can do, and what's your least favorite thing? And working with all the great directors that you've worked with, and without naming any names, like the thing that you're avoiding when you're directing because you've seen someone else do it, and on the other side, the thing that you like to do because you've seen it done really well.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I just to repeat. Time to think about my answer. Yeah, could you repeat that, please?
That's part of the madness, Sean. I'd like to give the answerer, that's a word, right? Time to...
Your own answer is included in
this
question.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He's giving
me time. I give them one they can use if they like.
If he were in a court of law, the judge would be like, every time they'd be like, Your Honor, leading the way. Every single time they'd be like, just ask the question.
I'm the worst.
What do you like? Just go like, what do you like? What's your favorite? And then that's it. Not, right. Or is it and is it? She'll tell you.
Yeah. All right. I Liz, I'm sorry.
Do we have time for me to answer? Okay. Well, I'll start with my favorite thing, which comes to mind easier. This I learned from Jane, I think, just the atmosphere created on set, she had.
For
Top of the Lake.
Top of the Lake.
Jane Campion.
Yeah. So she just had this ability to create an atmosphere on set that you never felt rushed, you never felt under pressure. I mean, with, given there were some times, but just in general, you always felt like you had time to rehearse if you wanted to or ask questions. There was just no ticking clock. And to do that, now that I am on the other side, I know how difficult that actually is to do. And
because you're almost suppressing your own anxiety.
Oh my God, of course. And
tick, 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 tick.
Yeah,
tick.
And this actor has a question. You're like, Jesus right. Christ, we're not going to get the scene. And so I know how difficult it actually is now, but she just did it so flawlessly. And I'm not as good at it as she is by any means, but it is something I kind of try to keep reminding myself to do. And you have to. So I think the answer to the other question is just the reverse of that, Jason. Yeah, is somebody who is clearly anxious, the worst thing that can possibly happen is after you do a take, a director just sort of sits there and doesn't sort of know what to say, and there's that awful kind of thing where they're like, let's just try it. And that's the worst,
Yeah, because it's different than what they thought it was going to be, and they can't figure out whether that means it's wrong or not.
Right. And they just don't know how to fix it if they do need to fix it. And they should they just move on and make they're thinking about how they can cut around it and
You know what I want? I want to veer off of this for just a second.
Okay.
I want to talk to you, Lizzie, about vacation. What do you do on your time off? Because your resume is...
Did you just grab the wheel and just drove us off a fucking cliff? What's going on?
Put us in the back seat and...
Have you ever been in a conversation
before? We're talking shop, Sean.
What are you...
It's the business tree. Right? That's the new name of the podcast.
Cupcakes and vacays.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I like would it. You rather sun or snow for the vacations?
Sun, for sure. Okay.
Yeah. With that skin of yours, it's perfect.
Yeah, big hats.
Sun, although I haven't gone on a proper vacation in a little bit. And recently, the last vacation I took was to Paris over Christmas and New Year's last year, which is neither sun nor snow, but absolutely wonderful, of course.
Do you speak French?
No, I do not. But I have to learn for my next role.
Really?
Yeah.
What's
I have
that?
To do a British accent and also
that's
learn
lunch, guys.
French.
So you're playing a Frenchie in your next thing.
I'm playing a British person who speaks French.
Who speaks French.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's Mark Chappell. Mark Chappell's a British person who speaks French.
He
can help you.
Once an episode, Chappie gets mentioned.
Sure, Chappie gets
a lot of mentions. Is it a bet you guys are in? Or?
No, he's a great guy.
But Lizzie, I went on vacation with Jason this summer. We went to the Bahamas.
You sure did.
And we went, every time we would go into the ocean, my pasty white skin would be, I would just wear my bathing shorts.
And my pasties would come off.
and Jason looked like he was gardening in the ocean. Like he had this massive straw hat on that covered his whole body.
You know why? Because I have a smart other half.
Yeah, but long sleeve shirt, super long shorts, and still like the sun just finds him.
Well, yeah. Listen, when he gets hit by a bus next week, it's going to make a big difference. Hey.
It's smart, though. It's important to protect
against
smart.
Sure. Yeah. We'll bury him with that fucking hat. Listen. We went on vacation with the kids and stuff a few years ago, and everybody's like, we're all in the water. There are like 15 of us, except for at the end, there's Jason fully covered from
that's
ankle
what I'm saying.
To wrist with the hat, nothing like this.
Do you it's burn, true. Jason? Is this a
I have burned before, but also panel. I have had sun cancer removed from my face.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay,
I didn't know so, that.
It's awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
When was that?
You know, I don't bother people with my near-death experiences.
We've really stepped in it.
Sean.
Well, wait a minute. When really was that? How long ago?
You son of a bitch.
How long ago was that, Jay?
Nothing.
So Lizzie and I, because I don't want to run. So Lizzie and I, last year, I came in and did it. Lizzie's in this in Taika's movie, Next Goal Wins, and then I came in and we just, I just
oh,
shot for a couple days.
Oh, this is the thing you
days.
Just shot?
Yeah, mm-hmm. For a couple days.
Is this
days,
where you guys kissed?
And where we kissed.
Oh.
And we celebrate this moment, and Lizzie turns to me and goes, should we kiss? And I go, yeah, I guess so. And they're like, and action. And we just, right? It was just like that.
Wow.
It was just like that. There were no questions really
so
asked.
Listener, Tracy, there's a situation when actors kiss, it's never in the script whether the mouth opens or stays
yeah,
closed.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
You need to kind of understand what kind of kiss it is, right? Is it passionate or is it celebratory and it's a little see you tomorrow and a little peck.
And you discuss
and
it?
I don't often discuss it. You just kind of supposed to know.
I feel like you have to discuss it.
Well, you're supposed to now.
Did you guys discuss?
We did not.
You did not discuss. Did the mouth open?
No, it was kind of it was like a celebratory, yeah. Like a really celebratory moment. So it was like
neither one of you seems sure about that. Did tongues touch at all?
I don't think so.
Not real sure, are you?
No.
No.
Huh. No, it could because it was like we were happy. We're like, all right, they scored. And then we sort of hugged and then kissed.
And I did ask. I just want it noted that ask. Will said, I did ask. There was consent.
She did ask.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it was a celebration over a kid's soccer goal.
Not a kid's.
Not a child. A real a human.
Oh. Human, oh, like I got you. Well, like you're not going to tongue kiss on a celebration.
No, it was
celebration.
Like a quick, no. It was a quick moment. But normally when you would do any sort of love scene or kiss, yeah, there would be sort of, especially now, there's even more conversation.
Well, they have a person on set. They actually have a person
intimacy coach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But wait, have any of you here on the, as Jason calls the panel.
The panel.
Have you ever had a moment where you had to kiss somebody in a scene on any job? And you open the mouth, but no tongue? Because I think that's incredibly awkward.
A lot, yeah.
That's so weird.
It is weird.
That's like fake cutting me a piece of cake. It's like...
wait. So the goal there would be so that camera can see that, oh, this is a passionate kiss, right? Because you see the jaws moving and stuff like that.
But if you're already halfway there, why not just insert the tongue?
Well, I think the tongue is considered just the level of intimacy that some people aren't ready or wanting to go to. I'm with you. I think if there's, you know, there's a discussion and consent and everything and everyone's on the same page, I'm with you, Sean, where it's sort of like, well, at this point, I mean, God, you know, you might as well make it look real.
I had to make out with Katie Finneran on stage and in Promises, Promises every night. And we just fucking sloppy, wet tongue kissed every night.
Every night?
Yeah. It's all about comfort, too. You know, I find that if you've just met the person or if there's something that you don't, you know, you're much more sort of cautious of what they're comfortable with. But most of the time, there's somebody that, like, if you're on a series, it's not your first kiss.
But, Sean is a loose cannon. He got a massage. He popped a bone getting a massage recently from a woman. He's all over the map. He doesn't know what's going on. It's a true story. You said it. You're the one who talked about it. True story.
Wait, this was in the Bahamas, right? Yeah. We got out of the ocean.
Yeah, that's right.
He had a treatment.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jason had one still in his gardening outfit.
How did you deal with that?
Well, she did a lot of drive-bys, right? A lot of brush-bys.
Yeah,
it wasn't his fault. She was being inappropriate.
A lot. And then, and it was a small towel over it, and then it just kind of lifted, and she just didn't care.
Huh. Where was this?
This is the Bahamas.
This is in the Bahamas on this incredible trip that they went on that I did
wasn't
not
available.
Go with.
Weren't invited to?
Well, you don't like sandals, so.
They claim they invited me, but I don't remember. Actually, the last time I did and said I wasn't invited to something, Kimmel.
I think there's an email for this, too.
Printed an email to prove that I never answered. But Here's the thing. I'm worried about, like, when I, anytime I've done a kiss on screen, I'm always worried that they're going to fall in love with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my kissing,
kind of a mile away.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because they're only human. They can't help themselves. You lay one of those kisses on them, right? Lizzie, I bet it was you had to probably a couple of days afterwards. Oh. Like, what are you going to do?
I wouldn't leave town. I was showing up outside his house.
Right.
Lizzie, aside from that stuff, like, are dating, do you want to date, kids, marriage, anything like that?
Say again.
What's the question?
Kids, dating, marriage, anything in your life right now that
what are you just reaching into a grab bag?
Slide that in there?
Why not?
We're all personal stuff. Go ahead.
You don't have to answer it.
I like Sean. Sean and I are good.
Yes, I
feel safe with him.
Personal questions. All right.
I'm visiting you when I'm in New York.
I would love that, honestly. It's kind of weird that we've never met.
I know it is.
Right? Yeah. Anyway, I'm single.
What's your sign?
Nothing going on. Leo.
Mm-hmm. What's your rising?
I don't know, actually.
Special
I've
skills.
Never had that
Any special
done. Horseback riding.
Okay, good.
What, you work for Tinder? Like,
just updating her profile.
Taekwondo. Just updating my Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
So no, single. I would love to have kids at some point soon.
That's good.
You're a damn catch. You are catch.
I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, we both will.
For children?
We've set up many, many people off this podcast.
For children. For
any loose kids running around?
Any viable children that aren't any
all right, so
maybe this is out of bounds for me to say, but Sean, why don't you donate some sperm so Lizzie can have
a child? Don't threaten me, because I'll do it.
Really?
No, why not?
I am on board.
Now, there are banks, right? I've heard about these. You can look through, like, these profiles, these pages and pages of different donors. And
Or we could just go at it, and I'll close my eyes and hold my breath.
Or I could just give you a massage, and apparently...
Yeah, that's all it takes.
I've been creating a bank here. I've got a jug that I've been for the last couple of years.
Hey, man.
That I keep in the back fridge. I keep it in the back fridge, and I just...
Keep it in the back fridge.
Fridge in the garage?
A jug. It's just open. Just like a lid.
It's just like an old-timey plug.
It's like rusty.
Cork. Yeah. So speaking of perfect days, Liz, if you aren't working on one of these great things, which I would assume would be a perfect day for you, what would be the second most perfect day? What do you really like to do with your days if you're not working, not watching Real Housewives?
In New York.
Well, you're right about the first thing. My ideal day is, I'm such a nerd, is working.
Yeah.
Being on set. Otherwise, I do love being in New York, and I don't get to be here as often as I would like. So definitely in New York. It has just become fall here. Mm-hmm. New York got the memo. Yesterday was the first day of fall. New York is ready. New York was literally like 5, 6, 7, 8, and showtime. Here we are. Like, it is crisp. It is amazing out.
You, like, rent one of those bikes and just start tooling around, or you just start walking around like Mary Tyler Moore?
Like Mary Tyler Moore. I love walking. It's why I couldn't live in LA. I love walking around the city.
I do too. I love it.
Right? So I no plans. I don't like plans, because unstructured time is something that I don't get a lot of. So
I'll see you when I see
that. Exactly. Just run into you in the park.
Now, are you a night owl? Are you one of those people that really takes advantage of, like, the whole restaurant scene in New York, and you're out till, you know, you eat at like 10:30 and that stuff?
No. I love an early dinner.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly happy with a dinner at 6. I think that's absolutely acceptable.
I'd push it to 5:30.
Why not? 5 o'clock. Let's go.
I had dinner at 5 almost every night.
I love it.
When I was younger, I was a little bit. I was definitely more of a night owl for sure. And it started to change.
Uptown or downtown?
Uptown, Upper
really?
West. Yeah,
Upper West near Sean.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
Are you there now?
No, I'm there for all of 2023.
Here comes tongueless kissing.
I'm telling you. I tell you what. Sean, you want to borrow my jug? Because you can take it over.
Just drop it off. I have a doorman building.
Post it on it and you're all set.
We don't even have to talk. We don't have to see me.
Hey, Sean Hayes is going to come by and drop something off.
Wow.
It's not labeled. Just accept it.
Just throw it in the freezer.
Do not drink it. Or...
Well, we're going to end on a high note here.
And
we're going to thank you for your time. Oh, your
Lizzie,
humor,
we love you.
Your generosity, your spirit. Yeah.
I love you guys.
Lizzie, you know what the thing you did was? You actually, Jason was really grumpy this morning and you did turn his day around.
Yeah, you turned that
you
frown
really
upside
did.
Down.
Legit.
Double thumbs up. I knew you would. Thank
I know.
You.
I heard you. I'm so happy I could. And thanks for
sunshine.
Having me. I requested to be on this podcast because I'm such a big fan of it.
Oh, that's so nice. You didn't need to ask
How is
twice.
That possible?
You're, yeah. Thank you.
Listen, great. You're so great and you're such an unbelievable mega talent. It's just yep. so thank great
keep
having
going.
You here.
I, keep I giving us stuff.
Super yeah. nice person.
I appreciate it. Thank yeah. you.
All right.
I think it should be under her eye.
Under her
oh,
eye.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you're welcome.
Look at you.
Lizzie, you're the best. Have a great rest of the day. We'll
thank
speak to you.
You.
Bye, Lizzie.
Soon, I hope.
Awesome. Thanks,
right.
guys. Apartment
bye,
bye. 5A, Sean. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
Get there.
Okay. The door open.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was so funny. I mean, I never met her. How do you know her, Jason?
We've talked about like doing some work together, like that kind of thing. Nothing structured.
The nose or your brow
yeah,
or what?
Well, we were going to get a twofer on just a brow lift. And,
that's so funny.
She's amazing.
I tell you a funny story. I don't know why I didn't tell it on the thing. Funny. We were laughing too much. So when my ex-wife, Amy, was pregnant with Archie, and it was right up almost the day she was... It was her original due date, and she had a doctor's appointment, and the doctor's like, no, it's going to be another week or whatever. And then that night, after Friday night, she did a joke run-through for update with Tina, and it came home, and then, like, her water broke, and it was a Friday night. We went up to the hospital, and then next day, Archie was born. It was the first time that Ham, that weekend, that Hammer was, John, was
John
hosting Hammer. SNL.
Oh.
And they were going to do this sketch that Amy was going to do with them, blah, blah, blah. And they had to replace her in all these sketches. And Lizzie happened to be in town because John was hosting SNL. And so she came
oh,
and
wow.
filled in
wow.
for Amy.
That's amazing.
On wait, thing. On yeah. update too?
Not on update. No. Just on the show.
On the yeah. sketches and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's super
Isn't
fun.
That cool?
That's so cool, yeah. I yeah. can't believe I've never met her. She's
amazing.
She's great.
Yeah, she really is.
Oh, what a talent. She's an unreal talent.
Yeah. Isn't she fantastic? Oh. And funny, too.
Yeah,
I
really
want to see
funny.
Her in, like, some comedies.
She's so mellow.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Like, in the best way, as a compliment.
We got to set her up. Let's make that a smart hookup.
That's why I asked.
Right
I'm going
yeah,
to find
let's set her up.
For her.
Let's set her up. I'm going to put a list together right now.
Yeah. Of past smartless guests?
Yeah, past smart and just guys who are going to be released in the next year or so.
Guys that
who are on parole, but like
right.
more like white collar.
Sure. Yeah,
criminals.
Yeah.
No,
she deserves a great dude.
What do you guys got the rest of the day?
I'm going to go to an eye doctor because I have an eye infection.
Are you going to take some notes for the next episode of Hypochondriactor?
Yeah, sure. actually, I am.
Hey, have you prepared stories that you want to open the show with for next show?
Sure, I can do that.
Yeah.
Sean.
Why not?
No, because...
I don't prepare them. I'm just like, oh, this happened today.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about
you'll,
that.
You'll log it.
Okay.
Willie, you've got... you're going to help the planet by doing what?
By...
Nine holes of golf?
Golf.
Well, I'm gonna work. I got a little bit of work to do. I'm gonna watch some. I'm gonna watch some soccer, some UEFA Nations.
Watch some soccer. Watch some golf. Then go play some golf. And then leave your car running just so the air conditioning can be on in a parking lot somewhere.
You know what? Sometimes you know, in order you gotta let things go. Or as I always say, let bygones
be
bygones.
Bye.
Sean, you don't need to duet. The bye, okay?
Why not? You don't fucking say it at all. I gotta make up for you.
Smart. Less. Smart. Less.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarv, and Bennett Barbico.
Smart. Less.
If you like SmartLess, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.